The house was really nice. It was cozy, but
very 19th century.
Yes, and I could definitely have that feeling of someone by candlelight writing in the upstairs, doing, you know, pulling out these great bits of literature from their quill or their pen. And as much as like I enjoyed the tour, I thought the tour guide was very nice. I really liked him. I didn't agree or enjoy a lot of what he was saying. We kind of talked a little bit about this already, where he starts with, "Have you read it?"
Yeah.
Which immediately brings up two problems for me. One is it, which I don't condemn the idea that Moby Dick is maybe the most central piece of fiction Melville wrote in his life. Like, I know why it is kind of at the center and why they sell little whale keychains in the gift shop.
Whale shaped soap, whale tea towels, whale everything.
And that's fine. That's fine. It's probably the easiest thing to noticeably be able to sell off of it. Like, it's not like they're going to fucking pull something out of Israel Potter and really hook the people in, you know?
I need an Israel Potter tea towel stat.
But at the same time, this is a place where not only he wrote his most prolific thing, he probably did his most actual writing. Before this, he still wrote like five books before this, which is a not insignificant amount. After this, he sort of went into more poetry stuff, but like this is sort of a core area of his career, is these 10-ish years. And I wish it wasn't necessarily it. This is where he wrote the great book and other things that failed. Failure was a word they used a lot with Melville. And I know why maybe Melville felt like a failure and stuff and like why, but I just don't like that as an attitude to go with this sort of thing at all. Because especially like maybe if all the other books sucked, maybe you could just only do it. But like all the other books are masterpieces. It's Melville. Mm-hmm. And the other thing was sort of couching it in terms of, I understand you don't like Moby Dick. Let's show you the house anyway.
Yeah. Very much apologizing for the difficulty.
He would be like, I know this is a book you've read in high school, and I know you didn't like it. I know you didn't like it. I know it's long. It's boring. It's a boring book. I know it's so boring. Like, they'd have to keep couching it in these terms of like, it's a bad book. It's a boring book. It's a book you were forced to read. It's unenjoyable. And
he's a loser because people didn't like it. And it turned out that they were wrong. He was secretly a genius, but we still have to all like agree among ourselves that it's a really a bore to read. Subject ourselves to his intelligence.
Yeah. And that was sort of my biggest problem. And this was a place of appreciation. I literally didn't feel like the appreciation was there for one, Moby Dick, or for two, his wider literary career, and or even really him as a person. So this is a bit of a struggle, but like I said, very nice. Everyone was very personal, liked the grounds, liked the house, said a lot of things about Herman Melville that I found shocking, which is like Moby Dick was the first time he decided to not write a pulp novel and started to get a little experimental, and it's like, Marty, book number three, Marty right there. We talked with Tim Marr at dinner. He was yelling at us. He was even more experimental than Marty. Oh, I don't know what is going on. And then he was like, you know, Moby Dick was like one of the first experimental novels ever written, which I just wanted to like 1-800 Stephen Moore, just like hotline him and just be like, I need you to get out here, stat. We have an emergency. CPR.
Bring your musket, Stephen Moore. We need you.